When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to the latest episode of Five on the Floor on the Five Reasons Sports Network. Thanks for joining us on your favorite podcast app. On Android, we recommend Spotify or the Five Reasons YouTube channel. Make sure you hit like, subscribe, and turn the notifications on. For Apple, it's always Apple Podcasts. That's the easiest way to get us. Also, check out Off the Floor. That's our Discord server. That's where you can escape Twitter, X, and all the other platforms and just talk heat with our group. Got more than 500 subscribers on there now. They're chatting heat all day long, in addition to us popping in there from more than time to time. Again, the link is right here in the description on the YouTube channel, the podcast feed, and pinned to the top of the Five Reasons Twitter page. Also want to tell you about a great new sponsor of the Five Reasons Sports Network. If you want to find all your heat content in one place, as well as all the other team content, you can check out Autograph. Do it at autograph.io. Use the code 5. When you get in there, that will unlock some other stuff for you. Autograph.io, and we will be working with them to get more releases on there. So a Jaime Jaquez jersey was recently released on there, signed one for just $3. They do these kind of promotions all the time. We'll have something new for you from a memorabilia perspective early in the week. So go check it out, autograph.io, or just go to the App Store, download the Autograph app. And again, make sure that you use the code 5. It's where real fans get unreal rewards. And now, today's episode.
Down to Biscayne. Yikes. Five on the floor. Ride for my dogs. Where here's the thing. You can check the score. Hustle hard. Couple scars. Wearing bubble frogs. Just like Buckley said. You in trouble, y'all. Kept the floor playing. Got a all band. Y'all seen the block. Stop with one hand. And Pat, we trust. It's power. Have the guts. We here to bring the heat. Y'all can hang it up.
Welcome to Five on the Floor, a daily insider show on the Miami Heat and the NBA, featuring Ethan Skolnick, Greg Sylvander, and Alex Toledo, plus others from the Five Reasons Sports Network.
Welcome back to Five on the Floor. Here's today's floor plan. I'm Ethan Skolnick. You can follow me at Ethan J. Skolnick and at Five Reasons Sports. We've got Greg Sylvander. You can follow him at Greg Sylvander. We're doing some of these two-person episodes here going forward. Did one with Alex Toledo. We got into Eric Spoelstra's comments and Jimmy Butler's absence, as well as Tyler Hero's absence from exit interview day. Not the exit interviews themselves, but from the media portion of it. And then Brady and I went through what the players who were there said. So we got into what Bam said, Caleb said, Jaime Jaquez said, Haywood Highsmith, DeLon Wright, Duncan Robinson, and others. Kind of evaluated what their off seasons might look like and what next season might look like for all of them, and whether or not some of them may actually not be in Miami. So check out the episodes with Alex and Brady. But something else is coming up this week. It's now an annual holiday, since it doesn't happen so often anymore. I remember when this used to be every day that you got a chance to get Pat Riley's views on the organization. That, of course, has changed. Eric Spoelstra is essentially the face of the organization, the public face of the organization now, and they employ a one-voice philosophy. So even if there are differences behind the scenes, they smooth out those differences before Eric speaks to the media. And then additionally, if you get a chance to talk to any of the others on background, it tends to be an aligned position that they all take. And of course, there are six or seven people in the front office who are involved in a lot of these core decisions. But the man we want to hear from, of course, is Pat Riley, because that is the center of it all. Since he came down here in 1995, this organization has done a ton of winning. We know that. I think missed playoffs only six times at this stage, which is remarkable. There are teams that have missed the playoffs six of the last seven. So to only miss it six times, whatever you may think of some of the inactivity or some of the results of late, particularly this season, you can't argue with the overall track record of success and also of continuity. And that's kind of where I'm at with it, considering that I've covered the other organizations in town, including one that, like the Marlins, where you can basically get a bunch of different owners and a bunch of different GMs and a bunch of different philosophies in the same year, it seems like. And the Panthers have taken years and years to get to this point where they are now a really well-functioning organization under Zito, and that took forever, okay, to get to this stage. And he essentially saves hockey in this town, and I guess you have to give the owner some credit there in Vincent Viola as well. And the Dolphins, I mean, there's always hope, right? But there's also no playoff win since December 30th, 2000. So you can't really make an argument that the Pat Riley era has been anything other than a rousing success. But it is at a crossroads, Greg. And at this stage, it's kind of at an abyss. And that's his word. And we're going to play off of that word even more. We thought he didn't really mean that word when he said it before the season. I think we both said that maybe he meant precipice. I can go back to that episode. Abyss sounded kind of like it was already done for, whereas precipice was kind of like you're on the edge of it. But now this feels more like an abyss than a precipice, doesn't it?
It does. It seems like that's what he meant to say. And this is one of the pressers I'm more interested in than usual. And it's because I think that there is no way that he's going to be able to skate around the question on the build, the timing of the build, and the kind of crossroads that they're at. It's just so evident. So I'm personally really interested to hear what he has to say in that regard. I think that it's not a situation where he's going to need to be pressed by people for him to get to some of these things. I think in his own, he usually has an opening monologue, right? And I think in that he'll get to stuff just by virtue of the fact that this team is at a crossroads and there's no way to get around that. So to me, I'm really interested to hear what he has to say specifically about the build and the timing going forward. And I know that they're always going to say they're trying to win now, but there's subtle things he can say behind the words that will be informative tomorrow or whenever he speaks.
He knows how to send the message. And at this point, maybe he's not quite as clear about it as he was a few years ago, but you're right. There usually is an opening monologue. Sometimes, again, it takes us a little time to kind of figure out what direction he's going with that. But then in the past, there have been pointed messages made either to the media, the fans, or the players. And, you know, I'll go back through a few of them as we go forward. I mean, the infamous one in 2000, well, first thing, it was different when he was a coach because he would be able to make these statements like right after. Like I remember the 2000 series that they lost to Charlotte, a 2001 series that they lost to Charlotte, where they just got blown off the floor. That was when Zoe was out for 69 games, came back, and, you know, RIP Anthony Mason. He had a great season, but he basically quit in the playoffs, and it sort of fed to the rest of the team. And I remember, him saying we were embarrassed and ashamed. Those were some of the words that he used at that point. I used ashamed several times. And then, you know, ripped the whole, you know, again, going forward there, they kind of went through a different stage of the franchise after that. Because this is after he had made a lot of these changes. And then one of the guys he changed out, Jamal Mashburn, like ran him off the floor. So as a coach, he was able to kind of address these things day to day and immediately. Now there's a little bit more time to address it. And there's no great surprising, ridiculous run like we saw last year. And there's also a bunch of stuff swirling. Okay. So sometimes when there's been stuff swirling, again, he will use it as a way to address particular people who are involved. You know, I go back to, when Dragic was a free agent and he used the, you know, this time there's no smiling faces with hidden agendas, right? Which was, yep, you know, a callback to LeBron. And it was an indication that they were going to keep Goran, although, of course, Goran has now revealed on the OG show that Pat didn't think he played that well, actually, even after he acquired him. So I guess it was not a guarantee that they were going to extend him, although they'd given up the picks to do so. He also, of course, famously in 2014, kind of effed up at that postseason presser where he called out LeBron sort of indirectly, passive-aggressively. He also revealed that LeBron had just had was expecting a child, which I know was the thing that really bothered LeBron's camp at the time, that Pat had kind of spoken out of school on that. There have been other times that I felt that he was directly trying to pump up somebody's trade value. And actually I call that last year with Hero. And that, you know, that when he comes prepared, because it was interesting. A couple of years ago, if you remember, we were talking on the, because we do a lot of post Riley presser pods, that he had kind of forgotten Tyler the first time around. Mm-hmm. And we talked the core guys, right? He mentioned Bam and Jimmy, but then he kind of added them later when he was prompted. But then, like, this past year, like, the whole thing was about Tyler.
Yeah.
Like, right? And I was like, okay, this is the kind of thing he does when he's trying to pump an asset.
He called Tyler and Bam the two pillars.
Right. Now, that's where we pivot here a little bit, Greg, because I don't think he can take the same approach as last year on that. Here's the things he's going to get asked about. Okay. Because I also remember 2019, him battling with Barry and Ira in particular, particularly Barry, about not having any flexibility. And he talked about, all we need is one star. And he was combative in that press conference. I remember that one. That was actually in the practice gym. And he was going back at everybody. And he basically said, all we need is one guy to say, okay, that he wants to come here. You know, that was that there are obstacles, but there are none. That was that press conference, right? We made a t-shirt out of that one, okay? And of course, they got Jimmy. I mean, that was the thing. But now we're, what, almost, you know, 5 years, we're 5 years removed from that. And other players, particularly Dame, have said they wanted to be here. Beal has said he wanted to be here. And for various reasons, in the Dame case, I would argue that it wasn't their fault because they were dealing with an unprofessional general manager. In the Beal case, I would argue they made the right decision, okay? But the reality is that to the fans, okay, especially the casual fan, they're like, well, guys have asked to come here, and they haven't. So I would expect, Greg, here would be some of the questions that may get posed, okay? Because I think it's going to be a little more combative than usual because this didn't end up in a finals run. I think one thing is going to be, if another guy asks out to come here, are you confident that you can do enough? You have enough assets and you have the desire to do everything necessary to add that player. Do you think that's a reasonable question that may get asked? And how do you think he would answer that?
That's a reasonable question he will be asked. And I think that you would get a defensive Pat Riley in that moment. There's no way that I think that he will acknowledge that they've gone after players and that things may not have gotten done, but they have that the pursuit has been there. And that's where a lot of people, I guess, could disagree that maybe the pursuit hasn't been all out. But I think from their perspective, it was all out other than Jimmy and Bam. And sometimes they didn't get the chance to really go all out in a certain scenario like with Dame. So I think you'd get as defensive a Pat Riley as you could expect. And he will get that question. So it does beg the question if there'll be fireworks at the presser when it does happen. Because you're right, this didn't end in a finals run. There's not this magical tale to really reference. It's just a thud. It ended in a thud. And I think that it's going to make for more uncomfortable questioning, particularly from, some of the guys that he's more comfortable with sitting right there in the front row.
I mean, he knows the players at this point. I mean, I want to get to some more questions and see how you would answer them or how he might answer them. Cause I think there are some that are definitely going to get asked. But again, I've covered the team since 95, Barry roughly the same, Ira longer, Tim Reynolds almost as long. Anthony's been there in some capacity, I think almost a decade at this point. And that's just, again, those are the print guys, the beat guys. I'm not considered a beat guy anymore, but I'm around obviously quite a bit. And then you have, you know, the TV guys, you know, some of whom I think might ask, you know, some reasonably pointed questions as well. He's familiar with a lot of them. I think Jim Barry retired, so he won't get the usual Jim Barry questions he gets there. But there will be some. And then, of course, there will also be sort of the Heat TV folks will be asking, you know, what do you think, how the fans were this season, that kind of stuff. But that's kind of, you know, again, that, and that's their job. But let me ask a couple more here. Okay. Because but I'm making that point to say, like, these are not unfamiliar people that he's going to be speaking to. The Heat beat has not had the turnover that, say, the Dolphins beat has had.
Yeah.
Now it's kind of musical chairs with the Dolphins beat, but it's like it's been the same people around Riley for roughly 25 years. So he's probably going to get comfortable, let loose, and probably poke some jokes at all of us, which is what he's done throughout the years, and I think we're used to it. I would say, okay, let me ask you this one. What would you say about the possibility that you overvalued Tyler Hero?
There's no way that he would admit that. And I think that he'll just double down on Tyler's strengths. He's in a situation where he's probably going to have to be selling Tyler Hero to others again. So I don't see any way that he would admit to overvaluing Tyler Hero at this point. And truthfully, I don't know that they really have overvalued Tyler Hero. I think that that's an overstated point by most people. But I think that he would double down in that scenario and likely kind of back himself into a corner by praising Tyler. But to me, I think that they've been willing to move Tyler Hero for basically everybody that you'd want him to, because I don't think that moving him for Bradley Beal would have been a good move. Like, that doesn't make much sense to me. So other than that, I think that he's been available for the Durants of the world, the Dames of the world, I think had that conversation gotten down the line. So to me, I think overvaluing Hero is a moot point, that he probably would be pretty evasive in his answer.
All right, here's one that I'm going to ask, so you can answer it for Pat. Put on your Pat hat, okay? Pat, when you coach this team, players played pretty much every game, and you emphasize them being on the court and going for the best possible seed. Even during the big three, the top nine players on the team, eight of them played at least 85% of the available games. And the ninth was Dwayne Wade, who was dealing with injuries, but played more games than all but three players on this team this year. Has there been an organizational shift in the philosophy of availability?
I think the league has changed, Ethan. That's what he's going to say to you. I think that he's going to point to the fact that the entire league has changed versus point to the organization changing. They've had to evolve. And I think that it's not maybe something that they love, but they've had to just evolve or die, right? So, like, it's a situation where the league is in that direction where guys are not playing. But it's weird. I say that, but then you look at like Anthony Davis and LeBron James both playing 70 plus games, and it's like, could you just get that much out of your guys? So I do think that there could be legs to that. He doesn't agree with what went down this year. I don't think he's going to co-sign with what went down this year. And I don't think it's an organizational shift. He may even speak to something similar to when he talked about there being a slip in the culture. Not that there's a slip in the culture, but maybe a slip in whatever is connected to the availability, because that's a big one. I think that availability is probably something he's going to harp on and be most disgruntled about if I had to choose something here.
Well, that's why I'm going to ask it, because I kind of feel like there'll be an answer prepared. And if anybody in the organization is listening to this podcast now before he speaks, well, there it is. That's what I'm going to ask. So hopefully you call on me anyway. To me, it's the most important question, honestly. Because we can talk about transactions and all the rest of this stuff, but if guys are not going to play consistently and they're going to end up in these, you know, six, they're going to be a play-in team, which is what Eric Spoelstra says that they don't want to be. And so that's kind of where I'm at with it. Like, I think, I mean, we'll get into the Jimmy stuff here in a second after the break, because obviously that's all going to get asked. But I do feel like he would be more expansive on this topic than he's going to be about Jimmy. That's my hunch on this. Because it does feel like you said, there are some league-wide topics. You know, with him, he's gone on and on at times, you know, in recent years about the shift towards the three-point shot. And I mean, he talks about league trends. But honestly, I'll just say this, and I don't know that we'll get a chance for a follow-up here, so I hope somebody follows me on this. I don't really care about the league trend. I don't care about the league trend. I care about the Heat trend. That's, again, we're a conduit to Heat fans, not league fans. Okay. And they need to figure that out. And I think even Eric Spoelstra pivoting away a little bit from the we have enough to, okay, it's something that we all need to look at this offseason. Like, that provides the opening to say, okay, even your players, okay, even your coach, like, your players are basically saying, like, Duncan, what was the problem with the offense? Well, you know, guys were in and out. Bam. What was the problem? Communication. Well, that's an availability issue. Like, if guys are not on the floor playing consistently together, none of this matters. Go get the greatest player in the world. He's going to play 45 games. It does not matter. And so that's the thing that frustrated Heat fans the most this year. It's like every single day looking is, okay, who's the five tonight? 35 starting lineups is insane. It's ridiculous. And it's not all bad luck. A lot of it may be. I'm not disputing that. Okay. And we have talked about guys who came back too soon, perhaps Caleb, Duncan, even Bam with a hip. Okay. But this needs to be addressed in some way. Okay. So anyway, let's get to a couple sponsors and then we will address the real elephant in the room or at F1 in a second. Before we do, I want to mention a couple of great sponsors of the Five Reasons Sports Network, our friends over at Better Edge. Use the code 5RSN. We're still running tournaments there during the rest of the postseason. Just because the Heat aren't playing doesn't mean we're not doing it. Check it out. Better Edge, that's with an O, betteredge.com. Use the code 5RSN. You'll get $20 to play. Free money right away. They got no VIG here. If you're familiar with that, like, that's how they get you at the other sports books. So I know people are going to say, well, there's another sports book that's active in the state of Florida. Yeah, we know that. We're aware of that. This is better. I mean, if you want to find the right line, you should be going to Better Edge because it's a marketplace. So you can find the line that you want. So check it out at betteredge.com, legal in the state of Florida and 43 other states. Betteredge.com, use the code 5RSN. You know what else is legal in the state of Florida now? Prize Picks. Yes, it's back. For that one, use the code 5, F-I-V-E. Get that initial deposit matched up to $100. We got a lot of people have been coming back on board lately because they're just sort of figuring out, oh, I signed up, but I never deposited my money because it went away. No, it's back. And they've got a lineup game. And I probably shouldn't say this. I've been winning more lately. I don't know. I with the new setup here, it's just power plays. If you're familiar, you can't do flex plays in the state of Florida anymore. But you can do power plays. They put you in a group and you set your lineup of up to four players. And I'm four from my last four here. So check it out. PrizePicks.com. If I can win, you can too. Use the code 5, F-I-V-E. Hey, it's Ethan Skolnick for 5 on the Floor on the 5 Reasons Sports Network. As you know, we heard from Pat Riley recently. Everybody has an opinion on trades, free agency, who they should keep, who they should give up, who they should get. Well, whatever it is that Riley and the Heat do, you don't want them giving up too much and getting too little, right? Well, the same is true of shaving products. And that's why I use Harry's shaving products. I love the weight and handle. I love the way it looks. And I love the quality of the shave. I have a little bit of trouble growing out a good beard. So better to just shave it off and make sure that it looks somewhat professional. These are German-engineered blades made in their own factory, so they stay sharp longer. Means you can use them longer. And also, they've got customizable delivery options for scheduled refills as low as $2, half of what you pay for other big brands. Also, I would recommend the shaving lotion as well and the body wash. So check it out. You can go to harrys.com/5. That's harrys.com/5. You'll get a $13 trial set for just $3. Again, don't pay too much and get too little. Same is true of shaving as NBA transactions. harrys.com/5 for your $3 trial set.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Catch those springtime vibes all over Arizona. Break out of the winter blues by hitting the water at one of our lake and river parks. Take a hike among the wildflowers. Just make sure to stay on the trails and leave the flowers for the bees. Discover Arizona's best kept secret and visit azstateparks.com/amazing to start your springtime adventure.
When you start. All right, so here we go. This is the big one. Do you intend to give Jimmy Butler a 2-year max extension?
I think he has to say yes. I don't see any way of him avoiding that. Do you see him tap dancing around that one?
The only way he can tap dance is he can say, we've had discussions with Jimmy and his representation, and then pivot into what Jimmy has meant to this franchise.
Yeah.
I think that Spo's answer to me about managing a player as he ages, because I'm not going to – fans are always like, why don't you ask the pointed questions publicly? Look, I've been around long enough. Again, I keep saying that, but I'm old. I literally woke up today with a foot injury that I don't know where it came from. Okay, I had to tell Greg, like, we were going to pod earlier, and I'm like, I need to hobble over to my computer. It's going to take me some time, okay? I've been around a long time. That's not the way you ask these. You don't ask the question. I mean, this particular question, yes. Are you going to give a direct question is fine. It doesn't mean he's going to give you a direct answer. But, like, this idea of, like, asking, like, you know, like, being accusatory is not how you get a good answer. And particularly with certain people that you've dealt with a long time. And, you know, the way I framed the question to Spo about Jimmy was, you know, you've had to manage older players, older stars. And can you take anything for your experience, particularly with Dwayne, as you manage Jimmy? And he gave a 2-minute answer, which, again, I recommend. It's on our YouTube channel, which really spoke to their relationship. He called it a beautiful thing, the way that it had evolved and that it's different. And he can't believe, you know, he remembers his first meeting with Jimmy, but that with Dwayne, it became very different towards the end, and that you're on the same page and you kind of think of things the same way. And I don't doubt that Spo, based on what I know of what Jimmy thinks of him, I don't doubt that Spo believes they can have that relationship. I mm-hmm. do think that he feels aligned with his star. When I talk about Jimmy and the issues in the organization, I'm not talking about her expulsion typically.
Never.
Right. It's not. It's sort of the ancillary people who've had to deal with Jimmy being Jimmy that I think a lot of them are sort of tired of it. And I understand why. And I've made the case here in the last podcast that with the one I did with Brady, that, like, I just think too much is falling on Bam at this stage. And I can't speak for whether Bam's tired of it. I just know they don't seem as tight to me as they did early on, kind of in this thing. And I look at it like it's two different philosophies, you know, that Jimmy and Bam have in terms of the way that they lead and the way they handle their business. But it just does seem like all the business falls on Bam. Like, Jimmy's blowing up the blowing off the interview with the local media again. I'm not offended. I don't care. Okay, but I'm saying, like, but then, you know, he's doing sideline interviews with TNT, and he's on the 10th, you know, he's at F1 doing interviews, and he's, you know, he's boasting about, if I was healthy, I guess, I don't, that came from somewhere else, I guess, but, like, you know, all the stuff on the IG. But it's Bam that has to take the actual questions most of the time. And so, again, I don't care for me, but I am sympathetic to kind of, it's like Bam has to do everything internally. Bam has to do everything externally. Bam is the one who's doing most of the community stuff.
Bam's the one who'll
probably show up at heat camps. Like, yeah, exactly. It's just like, And there was a little bit of a lack of balance between Dwayne and LeBron too, but not to this degree. LeBron did more team related than Jimmy does.
He was on the court every second.
Okay, so I'm going to follow on that. So you think, when we're talking about Jimmy here, okay, that he will directly answer it? Yes, he's going to say. He says, you know, Jimmy, has been obviously a huge part of us getting to the finals. He'll probably tell some story and he'll weave it back around. And then essentially he'll say, but yes, you know, we want Jimmy to be here and to finish his career. Right.
That's what I think. I think he learned from the Dwayne scenario. I don't think he deviates from that with Jimmy.
What if somebody, this is good. This is good exercise here. Cause again, I won't get a chance for this many follow-ups. There's no way. But I'm saying if I was to say, if the follow was then to be, okay, what did you learn from the Dwayne Wade situation?
That's, I mean, a great question. To not go into these organizations and be too, or into these negotiations, excuse me, and go and be too shrewd. You need to have some level of humility. And I think that remembering what Jimmy pulled you out of, is going to be a big part of, and he may even reference what Jimmy pulled them out of and where the organization was before Jimmy said yes to coming there. That's where I think that he may go to clarify why they're going to extend him. I don't think that that's going to be as big of an issue. The more that I've sat on it, I think that they're going to end up paying him. Do you disagree?
No, I think they will. I think they will. And I think that what we're seeing here, and I've referenced this on Twitter, what we've seen here over the past 48 hours, or ever since Philadelphia was eliminated, basically, where you have David Aldridge, John Hollinger, and I know both of them, and I've known David a long time, and then, but not just them, but also you have, like I've mentioned, friends of mine. I criticize the network as a whole, okay, but I have a lot of friends who work in the NBA side at ESPN, and I can tell you, okay, all of them have been texting me the same thing, like, this is going to be a long summer with 22. Like, they're all of them. Like, so there is something going around, okay? There's some kind of a flu or something like this, the Jimmy flu, where it has infected the national media now, where they are of the belief that there is real trouble in Miami. We have not, at least at this podcast, okay, have not spoken of real trouble in Miami. Mm-mm. You and I have hinted for a while. We were hearing, okay, and I can tell you, one person I was hearing from was an executive level person, and one was an ESPN media person. Okay, over the past month, like, the Jimmy extension is going to be a problem. Like, we've been hearing that. You and I have kind of tipped to that, but again, I wasn't, until this all sort of blew up. I was kind of like, all right, let's see how this plays out. I don't really have enough sourcing on it, all right, to go with it. And I say, you know, I know, right. So that was kind of, that's been out here in the space for a little while. So I'm not saying that there's not, I mean, we're not throwing, this is not, and I saw HB Basketball mocking me about my tweet yesterday, and we love you, Matt. Okay. But, like, you know, mocking me about the irony of, you know, when I'm saying basically that people are leaking to hurt the Heat, I guess he's saying basically the Heat were leaking last year on the Dame. I don't know what he's implying, but whatever it is. Okay. Love you, Matt. Okay. The point is, I'm not, this is not me like, okay, there's nothing to see here. I'm not saying that at all. Okay. There obviously this was going to come to a head with the Jimmy extension, and we've expected that. But the next step that it's been taken to, I do not believe, okay, at least, that either the Heat, because again, I've spoken to both sides over the years, I do not believe there's any motive or interest in either the Heat or Jimmy's camp spreading this to all of these media members who are not around the Heat regularly. Like, when I hear it from, I'll just be straight here. When I hear it from Reynolds or from Ira or from Anthony or from
Anthony
Barry
Chang was the first, you know, he tweeted it the other day.
I will take it more seriously. Okay. And obviously we all have our own kind of conversations and our own perceptions of the organization, and we're not a monolith no matter what people think. Okay. And I'm not even a beat guy anymore, but I'm just saying, like, I don't think there's any benefit, like, from the Heat's perspective. And then we'll get back to Riley. From the Heat's perspective, why would you want this out there? Like, why would you, like, what kind of pressure are you trying to put on Jimmy? Jimmy's not going to buck to any kind of pressure. Like, come on. They know Jimmy well enough. Like, you're not going to win a media game with Jimmy. Like, you're just not.
And
it's too good.
Jimmy would only put this out. Jimmy's camp would only put this out there if they thought they weren't getting it. And I don't think that that's the case, right?
But even if they think they're not getting it, I don't see the bet. Plus, again, transparent, Bernie Lee, his agent, went out and, yeah, I mean, he took a subtle jab at Ira in fun yesterday about the mailbag, but he basically was retweeting Brady's tweet. I mean, again, they're all following their stuff. Okay. Like, he retweeted Brady's tweet where Brady was tweeting out Jimmy's comments at F1 about loving the city of Miami. Okay. So if Bernie's doing that, again, I'm not going to psychoanalyze, you know, any agent, executive, whatever, but I'm trying to say, if Bernie's like, do it, like, basically you're saying that's it, he wants to be here type tweet, right? Like, you don't tweet that otherwise. Okay. So again, I don't, this idea, and I'll just say this flat out, and I can say this because from having talked, I mean, Bernie has told me repeatedly that Jimmy wants to end his career in Miami and will run through a fucking brick wall, to quote him on this. Okay, for, and this is not recent, but I'm saying over the years that I've had communication with you, for Spoelstra and Riley in particular. And they have enormous respect for Andy too. So I just don't, again, doesn't mean that there's not going to be an issue over this, because there's real considerations on it. Mm-hmm. But it does not seem to me like it's either side has any benefit. I mean, he's not a free agent. So this idea of, again, that
playing it out and leave
doesn't make any sense. Like that's, I just don't see it. So what is my hunch? Well, I can tell you it's the same hunch that my media friends who have not been leaking it have, which is that there's a certain general manager in Philadelphia who loves to talk, and particularly to certain people. And that's my hunch. That's my hunch. I don't have any information on it. Don't aggregate it. Actually,
the one with a bunch of cap space.
Right. With a bunch of cap space. Okay. And why just muck things up down here? That's my hunch. Okay. Don't aggregate it, even though somebody, when I tweeted it yesterday, already did. Okay. So there you are. But I'm just saying it seems like something that would benefit him more than it would benefit either of these two parties to make this a public scene. It's just not the way that the Heat do things. And his camp knows it's not the way the Heat do things. So they're very aware of how the Heat operate. And I said the last time there was an extension possibility here, his camp was expecting there to be some kind of an issue on it. And there was a dinner and it was like, okay, what does he want? And that's it. Now, this is a little different. So I'm going to ask you another question here. Okay. If you were to Pat, Coach Riley, team president, whatever, if you were to extend Jimmy Butler, would there be some kind of an expectation that he's going to play more in the regular season and not simply wait to ramp it up into April?
I don't care what he says publicly. There has to be, and they have to have the conversation privately. They have to. Like that, there's no way that you can allocate that percentage of your total salary cap to a guy who's not going to play. And play significantly. If LeBron can play 70 something games, everyone can play 70 something games. Come on now, that guy's what, 40? Like, what are we? And I
played
know
seven, he's like played 71. You know, that would have ranked second on the Heat, tied with Bam.
There you go. So, like, to me, that conversation has to be had. And also, I don't really know how to frame this up. This is why I don't get paid the big bucks. But there's an effort component to the games that he did play. That's also needs to be discussed. And I don't know how you do that eloquently enough, because it's a tough thing to talk about. But it wasn't just that he missed games. It's that in the games that he played, he wasn't always present and accounted for.
Especially in the big games. I mean, we talked about early in the season, the Boston game. I mean, big game first week of the season, whatever. But I'm talking about against the teams that you knew were in your way, right? Like, there's a possible statement you can send to a Boston or Milwaukee in the first couple weeks of the season, and he was absent in both of those games. We've talked about the performance against the top 10 defenses in the league. He averaged basically a little under 19 points a game on 43% shooting. That's not star numbers, okay? And so I get it that, like, the usage can come down and should come down. And I think the next question, this would be the more combative question to ask. So I'll let Barry or Ira handle this one. Okay. Do you think you failed Jimmy Butler by not getting him an additional star during the build thus far?
I don't know who has the guts to ask
that would be a Jim Barry question, I think.
Yeah, right?
We should draw straws on this one. Like I Will's not going to ask that question. There's no way.
Ira will ask it.
Ira is the one to ask it. Maybe. Yeah,
for the mailbag. And so that's
Ira still has an AOL account.
There's no way that you can't say that they've failed Jimmy Butler. Look at the result. Like, I think that whole sentiment is so played out and ridiculous. I can't even, I hate to even to give it credence by analyzing it. To me, he's played above his head since he came here. He's been better than Miami could have ever expected. But I think that they've also they've done enough, and they may need to do a bit more this summer. But to me, so far, I think that that's to say that they failed him. Mm-hmm. It takes it too far.
All right, here's another one. I know we're going long today, but this is literally the pod that you and I could do 3 hours on, because it's more interesting to me than any of the stuff on the floor. No disrespect to what Brady and Alex do for us, because it's tremendous, but I'd rather do this than talk about Spain pick and rolls. If I was to let's say this is a way I might frame the question, okay? Pat, it seems like over the past few years, you've been trying to bridge a couple of different timelines. You've got a Jimmy Butler timeline, who's an older player, and you've got a Bam Adebayo, who is entering the prime of his career. And then now you have some younger players that you've hit on some draft picks, it appears, with guys like Hakez and Jovic. Is it possible to bridge two timelines in the NBA and win a championship, or do you need to go all in on one or the other?
I think we're going to find out this summer, Ethan. I think that that's how you'd get an answer to that question, because that's exactly the road they're going down right now. Like, this is the crossroads of that, trying to bridge that timeline. I think right now is no better point for them to reach that. So regardless of how he answers, he's going to have to address that this summer. They're coming to a head.
You think he'll answer it that way? Or do you think he'll have some examples of teams who've done it? I'm wondering that because
that's a tough. I don't know that
who has done it effectively. Let me ask that. Let's do a little research on our own here. Okay, who has done that effectively recently? I mean, would you say that Denver is doing it? I
not
hard
really
to say. I mean, Jokic there's and Murray not really are roughly a ton the same of team. Age.
I mean, Golden State tried it. We can easily find the ones who didn't do
it. Well, Golden State is much more of that's the clearest one, and clearer than Miami, where they actually called it two timelines. Like, that was what they were, you know. And they did hit a crossroad, but it's not one guy with it. It's three, right? Like, it's three advanced age players that they've had. And look, one of the decisions is a no brainer. Okay. You know, they would give Steph the city if he wanted the city. That's not even, you know. But, I mean, with Draymond, they had to make a decision. It appears they might have made the wrong one. And then with Clay, they have to make a decision. It appears they might make a different one. Although Kerr's comments indicate that they probably will just keep him around. But Clay talked like a guy that thinks he's gone. And then their younger players, I mean, with the exception of Kuminga, and now Pods, I guess, because they just drafted him. But they that was a failure. I mean, Poole helped him win but I guess you could say it wasn't a failure because Poole helped him win a championship. One championship, and the championship trumps everything. But
San Antonio tried to do it for a while. They're not doing it right now, but they tried for a while.
They tried to rebuild to bridge it around Kawhi, and then Kawhi got the mystery injury, and then that kind of failed after that. I mean, Boston. I'm not going to call that a bridge timeline because Horford's old. I mean, he's one role player at this stage.
Yeah. But
Brown, Tatum, even Porzingis are kind of in the same time frame as is Derek White. It's not easy. I mean, now Milwaukee's gone the other direction. That's the go all in. Now Giannis, again, is not an old player at this stage, but he's firmly in prime, and they went older, right, and kept Brooke around, kept Middleton around, brought in Dame, and went that direction.
Phoenix.
Well, you know, Phoenix at this point, just they're just at the whims of a maniacal owner at this point. I think that there's no way that ends well in Phoenix. But I think that it's hard to do. It's hard to do. And they've done it better than most. So I'm not arguing against the picks they've made. And I think it is an interesting and smart approach. Like, if you look at the Hakez situation, which is very similar to kind of the way I think Denver has approached it, right? Which is get the ready to play guy now. So you're going young, but you're not going that young. Like, you're still getting a contributor. Maybe you max at the upside a little bit. We'll see if that's the case with Jaime. That's different from what they did with Jovic. Even in their last two picks, they've kind of picked two different philosophies.
End of the spectrums, yeah.
Right? So like, you're going into pick 15, and he'll be asked about that too. And of course, he can't trade that pick until they make it anyway. But he'll be asked about 15 and what kind of player he takes, probably. because we are pivoting to the draft here. And do you take another ready to play guy, which I do think is somewhat indicative of kind of direction that they may be going here. I just think this is, in a lot of ways, Bam, I think, is going to escape criticism. I don't think this is going to be like we saw a couple of years ago where one of Pat's focuses, and I remember being the one I asked this question about how many shots he wanted him to take.
Yeah.
And he said, I don't really think that that's – I kind of feel like Bam will skate on everything now, because honestly, there's really not a lot to pick at with Bam, unless, you know, those who say that he sometimes disappears and offensively or whatever. But I don't know. I mean, I don't really know how you can have an issue with Bam at this stage. So
Spo
I
kinda, has no issue, so we can't have any issue.
And he's never going anywhere. Like, I shouldn't say never. You never know what happens at the end of it. I never thought Dwayne would go anywhere. But I'm just saying, like, in the prime of his career, he's not being moved. I don't see that happening. And he might get asked about the Bam extension as well. And I've got, that's not as pressing right now. But sure. Who else do you think that he will be asked about specifically in a way that matters? I mean,
Caleb.
Okay.
For sure. And I think
that's good. So ask me the question. I'll try to answer it. How do you think that's going to be approached?
Recently losing Max and Gabe and seeing how the market sets prices for players, knowing that you're up against the second apron, how do you project going into the offseason handling the situation with Caleb Martin and his option to test free agency?
Well, we're going to give Caleb some time to make his decision. I don't know how he answers this.
They're tough.
Yeah, because I think he'll speak to Max and Gabe. Every situation is different. I think he'll probably frame it a little bit that way. Caleb has been a player who's meant a lot to us, obviously performed very well in the last postseason. He may reference the fact that Caleb wasn't healthy out of the gate this year, without kind of framing as an excuse, more as an explanation.
He's going to get to use the second apron as a reason, because they're right up against it.
Well, that's the thing. And I wonder if he will be as definitive, because one of these pressers, I can't remember which one, maybe it was last year. The second apron was basically the entire focus of the press conference. Like, he had a message to deliver, to try to make it clear through us, at least, to maybe try to get this to the public, that this was not necessarily about the raw dollars. This is about the vehicles that they cannot use if they're in the second apron. And it kind of seemed like he was frustrated by the whole second apron thing, but more so at the league than at anybody above him. That's the sense that I got.
Agreed.
And right. So I don't think he'll say, like, about the second apron, and I know I'm ducking the Caleb question, but I really don't know how he's going to answer it. I think it might spin back around to this. I think that the second apron thing, again, I think he'll make the point again that they want to be a team that has flexibility. And that is a reasonable case to make, I think. And so I think, he'll say, now some will say, well, Boston's operating in the over the second apron, and they're the best team in the East right now. That would be the counter to that. Although, again, I'm generally in agreement, and I think most of the media that is there is generally in an understanding, at least, of what would be lost if they're in the second apron. And it's a lot. It's a lot. It's not just money. Okay. It's not just money.
Teams are going to start to feel that. I think that there are going to be less and less teams that go into the second apron moving forward. I think that there will be some ones that dip their toes, and they're going to see how punitive it is from a roster building perspective, and then you're going to see teams completely duck it.
Yeah. Oh, I think so too. And that's why I think you're hearing from the likes of Woj and Shams that this is going to be a very active summer, because teams, I think teams are going to evaluate their third best players mostly and say, okay, can I afford to pay this guy this when it's going to end up costing me this?
Yep.
And is it better to kind of shuffle it for pieces? And then you see guys like this offseason, I know it's a sore subject for Heat fans, because I think he probably would have been in Miami if Damon had come here. You look at a guy like Kelly Oubre playing at that kind of level on a minimum, and the way Tobias Harris played. And I think a lot of these teams should look at him and be like, okay, is one guy worth $30 million and one guy's worth $3 million? And again, this is another case where you could look at it from the Heat perspective and say, all right, and I think this is what's going to end up being the reason that Caleb's not here, is that you look at it and you say, okay, I can pay Caleb Martin $10 to $12 million a year or more. Or I can pay DeLon Wright $3 million.
Or Haywood Highsmith $5 million.
$6 million. Right.
Yeah.
Okay. And Josh Richardson on his player option, what, $3 million?
Roughly? Something like that. But you know he's back.
Okay. So you're talking about I can pay those three guys for $12 million, or I can pay Caleb about roughly that amount. I just think teams are gonna have to make these decisions. Like, and it's gonna cost players that they like, but this came in with Gabe and Max last year as well. All right, this will be the final one here. And we went long on this one. And again, we're not saying when this press conference is going to be, although probably by the time the podcast releases, everyone will know. Is anyone on this roster untouchable, Pat?
I think he'd be willing to say that Bam and Jimmy are untouchable. I don't know if that would be the case behind closed doors in every single scenario, but I do think that forward facing, he would say, we're happy with our top two guys. I don't think he's willing to put anybody else on that list, though. And he may even avoid the question completely.
I think it's that. I don't know a good way you can answer that, right? I don't know.
You set a blaze to a bunch of the roster if you're not careful there.
Right. Like, you can't. To me, you talk about a good direct pointed question. That would be that's the question, right? Like, who on this roster is untouchable? He can't say it because for a bunch of reasons, like you said, it puts the rest of the roster in a corner. Okay. And then if you say someone is not untouchable, then other teams know you don't value them as much. Right. So it's beyond just the ego stuff that you would have to deal with players when that comes out. And I can tell you from experience on these, the players pay attention to this press conference. I remember I was in Cleveland. They pay attention to it outside of Miami. I was in Cleveland one day that year that I had to cover that team, 14-15. And Pat had his presser, so I wasn't at that one. It was the 2015 one. And that was the one where he used the smiling faces with hidden agendas comment. And so I remember grabbing a slice of pizza, going out to then that I think it's still there. The Cavs practice facility was out in Independence, about 15 to 20 minutes outside the city. So I drive out there, and then LeBron had his usual, he is up against the wall. Okay, his presser that day with, after practice, because they were in the playoffs. Okay. So I don't know, first round, second round, I can't remember when Pat did it. But again, it was the hidden, it was smiley faces with hidden agendas comment. And it was in reference to a question about Dragic and expecting him to be back. We don't have any smiley faces with hidden agendas, but everybody knew who that was directed at. Okay. So, and we talked about the previous press conference, which was not just him revealing the child on the way, but also basically saying, if you've got the guts, you don't walk out the first door. Okay. And that didn't go over well either. But at this point, LeBron was not even a member of the team. I mean, he was literally preparing for a playoff series with the Cavs when he's back at the Cavs. So LeBron has his group thing, and I think Joe Harden was there. Joe was never afraid to ask a pointed question. So he asked, and I was talking to Joe before the presser, and I said, Joe, did you see Pat's presser? Because, and of course, he wasn't watching. I said, well, this is what he said. So Joe asked LeBron about it during the session there. Did you hear what Pat Riley said today? And he said no. And Joe kind of tried to explain it, but again, Joe hadn't seen it. He was taking my word for it. So maybe it didn't come across quite as clearly. So the press conference ends, and we can close here. But press conference ends, and everybody's walking away. And he goes, E, calls me back. He's walking away. He goes, what the fuck did Riley say? Oh, no, it was, what the fuck did Riles say? So I'm like, well, I said, this is what he said. I said, he was referencing a question about Goran Dragic. He said no. And so he's walking on the court, and everything with LeBron is performative, right? So he's walking, he's sort of backing up on the court. He grabs a basketball. Everybody else is breaking up because it's the end of the day. And he goes, you ever see that cover with Muhammad Ali on it? And I said, yeah, I said, of course I did. And if you haven't seen it, it's a famous cover. Okay. And it's basically Ali, who I know LeBron has actually done some study on. Okay. And it's a cover, and it's got all these arrows through it. And it was obviously during the time where Ali was one of the most polarizing people, not just athletes, but polarizing people in the world, and certainly in the United States. And he said, I think he said he thought it was a Sports Illustrated. He said, yeah, he said the thing on Sports Illustrated. It wasn't Sports Illustrated. It was Esquire, actually. But I didn't know at the time or correct him, but I just remember the cover. And he goes, yeah, that's me. And he shot the basket and kept going. I'll just leave it at this. What Pat Riley says, people will listen. They may not agree, but they will listen. And honestly, it's usually more interesting than what we've seen from this team during recent regular seasons. So I'm curious to see how he approaches it. But yeah, that was one of my favorite LeBron as victim moments that I covered during the course of my time being around him. Anyway, we'll have full coverage of the Riley press conference after it happens. Greg and I will be on there. Brady and Alex will be there with me. And again, by the time that this posts, you'll probably get an idea of what it is.
Thank you for listening to the Five on the Floor on the Five Reasons Sports Network. After all, someone needs to listen to my dad.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on your Memorial Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound rolls of juicy 80% lean ground beef for $3.49 a pound with a digital coupon. Then get select varieties of flavorful Powerade, Body Armor Super Drink, or Arizona Tea for 77 cents each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.